Now, what I want to talk to us tonight about is I want to talk about adventures in the gospel. And Paul, in writing to the church at Rome, he said, "For as much as in me, I am now ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also." It is no surprise that Paul would plan to go to Rome, because he had traveled across the great Mediterranean preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had made three missionary journeys, and these events that are recorded in the book of Acts tell about Paul, the persecutor, who Saul the persecutor, who turns crusader and blazes the trail in preaching the gospel. And in doing so then, we find the adventures that take place. What most of us think that the adventures in Paul preaching was his travels. You know, a lot of times brethren think that if they can show some slides where they've been and how far they've traveled, that's a great adventure. Well, that's not the adventures that you study about in the Bible, about these men like the Apostle Paul. We talk about his imprisonments. We talk about his great sermon at Athens, Greece. We talk about his shipwreck. We talk about his miracles. And to most people, these are the great adventures. But I want to tell you tonight that these really are not the great adventures of Paul preaching the gospel. Let's think just for a minute about Paul's mission and his adventures. In the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 6 and 7, Paul had a great encounter here of all types of interesting people. That's a part of the adventures of preaching the gospel, when you meet and encounter all types of interesting people. And that's what Paul done. Paul and Barnabas had traveled through the island of Cyprus, and they found a certain sorcerer there by the name of Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsular Sergius Paulus. And Sergius Paulus was an intelligent man. And as a result of this, this man called for Barnabas and Paul, and he sought to hear the word of God. He wanted to hear these men, what they had to say about Jesus Christ. But what happened here is that Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsular away from the faith. In other words, so here's the first thing that they encountered when they started this first missionary journey and went into this first island of Cyprus. What they found here is that one man wants to hear the gospel preached, and another man wants to stop it. That's an encounter. And that's what they experienced. And of course, gospel preachers experience that even today. In the 13th chapter of the book here, the same book, in verse 15, we find here that there was opportunities that abounded. Now, while we see here, one wants to hear the gospel, the other does not. But I want us to also say, notice that there was opportunities that abounded to share the gospel, and it incurred in very interesting and even surprising places. And what we see here in verse 15 of the 13th chapter, at Antioch in Pisidia, after the reading of the law and the prophets of the rulers of the synagogue, we find here that they sent to them, that is to Paul and Barnabas now, and said, "Men and brethren, if you have any words of encouragement or exhortation, just please say on." In other words, they got an invitation here to preach and to tell this story about Jesus Christ. On one hand, you got a person trying to stop the gospel, but now you got some rulers here of the synagogue saying, if you've got any words of exhortation, just say on to the people. Tell us about it. Now that's interesting, isn't it? And that's intriguing. That's an adventure in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice in the 50th verse of the 13th chapter here that there was opposition and also there was persecution. And the reason that they were here, and what this done, This opposition and persecution, what this done here, it showed how holy and how powerful the nature of these men's work really was. And this is interesting, isn't it? In the 14th chapter and verse 23, we find that they witnessed the birth and the growth of churches. Because so when they had appointed elders in verse 23 of the 14th chapter in every church and prayed and fasted with them, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. This took place at Derbe. Well, we see then that how that good was done, and this is a part of these great adventures. They seen the birth. They seen the establishment of churches. And they also witnessed the growth of these churches. And that's what that passage said. But I want you to notice in the 16th chapter, in the first four verses here, that there was dedicated, there was unselfish believers who emerged as co-workers to work with Paul and Barnabas and these other brethren that was on this missionary journey. It says that at Derbe, Timothy emerged as a co-worker, Paul desiring him to go on with them through the cities, delivering the decree for them to keep. So as they began to preach the gospel, churches began to establish, then there was co-workers that come on the scene. And as a result of that, then, they began to be used, and they, and Paul, Timothy here, he assists Paul as he goes forth to preach. You see the work that has happened? You see the adventure that has taken place? It's real, and we can see it here. In the 16th chapter, we see here, we witness the change of people's lives. Here is Lydia by the riverside with a group of women who, where prayer was wont to be made. And Paul preached to them, God opened their heart through the preaching of the gospel, and Lydia obeyed the gospel. We find also here that as it goes on and progresses in the 16th chapter, because of some things that happened in opposition and persecution, we find here that Paul was and was put in jail. And as a result of that here, we find here that the prominent Jews, they stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city. And they raised persecution here as had at other places. And we see here that the jailer had thrown them into prison, and having been charged to keep them securely, fastened their feet in the stocks. And of course, there became an earthquake at midnight. And this changed from having incarcerated these people in one instant to now hearing the gospel, and this man who had put them in jail saying, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What we see here is we are witnessing the change of lives. And that is a great adventure in the gospel of Christ. And that's really what it's all about. In the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul knew that the Lord was with him and it was working through him. Because in Corinth, the Lord spoke to Paul in the night in a vision, and he told him not to be afraid, but to speak, and to do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will hurt you. He said, "For I have many people in this city." Now, you talk about adventures in the gospel. Here's what's taking place with the Apostle Paul. But I want to say tonight, and I want us to understand, that our mission may not include preaching to large crowds of people. At the same time, our mission is to share the gospel with souls and help them to transform their lives and become Christ's people. That's what it's about. And that's what we really need to do. We may not cross the Mediterranean Sea like Paul did, or any other sea in our lives. But where we find ourselves, in the midst of people around us, adventures also wait for all of us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not for just the preacher, but for all of us that are Christians. And we need to realize this. This is not just about the work of preachers. That's not what it's all about. Although preaching must come. And I'm talking about the work of helping people in the gospel wherever they are, that we can serve them and their souls and work aside those who are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can assist, we can help even those that are. All of you here, and I know the elders want this, they want all of you to realize how important that the adventures and the joys are in the preaching of the gospel of Christ and to evangelize, because this is so important. And many of your dollars that are laid by in store here are spent for this. And you need to realize this, and you need to see how important that it really is. In other words, as I mentioned a while ago, the church here has supported me since 1985. Many dollars have been sent to me to assist me in preaching the gospel of Christ. It is a part of what all of you are doing. And the elders certainly want you to realize that. And of course, that's what I want to do, is to help you to understand that too. Have we embraced the mission of that we have in the gospel? Do we see our work as being our chief aim in life? Really, what is this all about? It's not just about getting an education or a good job or saving some money or getting a nice house. None of these things are wrong. But and if this is all that we think of, we're very small. We're living a very small life. very sheltered, and we are not seeing the whole picture in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the work of helping people with the gospel. Wherever that you see them, and you can serve their soul and work the side with them and alongside of them. And two things I want you to notice that Paul said. And one of them was done, and that is the challenges that he had to face. His work was difficult. It was costly, and it was painful. But you know, anything worthwhile that's fulfilling and that accomplishes anything, it takes sacrifice. And it takes us to realize that it's a great challenge. And we need to realize that. So that's what's involved in the challenges. In the joys, if we think that just, if our view of having great joy is driving a new car, taking a vacation, or seeing our favorite football team win a game, man, that's it. That's the greatest thing that can happen to us. If we're thinking like that, we're thinking wrong. The things that Paul saw and did were the very things that brought real joy to his life. And I want us to see that. I want us to understand that. Now, our mission and adventures, and it's obvious that the things that happen in our life, and I don't mean to teach that, and I don't get that impression. And that is that it's obvious that many things in our lives are not parallel to Paul's life. I understand that. But this work, this mission is, and I want us to see that. The core of what Paul was doing and what we're called to do is the same. Look at what Paul said to the church at Philippi, a good church that supported him. He said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you." And he says, both to will and to do his good pleasure. That's what it's about. That's what we're doing. Do all things without complaining and without disputing. Why are we here? Why are we here if it's not to uphold the light of Christ to the world and to help souls? Was not this the work of Paul and others? That's what they were doing in the book of Acts. And it was very adventurous to them. And these same adventures are to be ours. And I could talk to you about some things that's happened in my life as a Christian. And my life is preaching the gospel. And I'm not going to take the time to do that because I just want to talk to you about what the Bible says about these men. But I've experienced some things. Other preachers here have experienced things. The elders have experienced things. And you as a Christian here have experienced things in your life. And the more that you're involved in this, the more adventures you're going to have and the more things you're going to experience. That's the promise we got. And that's what we see here. And we could list ours, experiences that we've had. I want us to just think a minute about, and going back to the scriptures on this, how do you see your life and the mission for the gospel? And it's not limited to preaching. And again, I want to say this. In other words, everybody needs to be involved in this. For example, in Acts the 16th chapter, verse 15, and I alluded to this and mentioned Lydia a while ago. And that is, you remember Lydia? And when she and her household were baptized, that she begged Timothy and Paul and Silas, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide." And so she persuaded us. Look at this woman. Shortly after she had obeyed the gospel and become a Christian, what did she do? She began to show hospitality here by inviting these men who had taught her the truth into her house. You see, readily, she was recruited into here, assisting them in their work of preaching the gospel. That's a great adventure in that. Don't you think that she was thrilled that these people come into her home and she was able to help them, assist them, the very ones who had taught her the truth of what to do to be a Christian? A lot of Christians have never invited a preacher to stay in their home. They've never opened their home up to help someone who needed help. Not because they haven't done a lot of good things, but they haven't seen fit to do this. Many times we overlook the very things that becomes our adventures in life. Several years ago, I was preaching the gospel over, I was in Alabama. And my wife and I, we went in this home and stayed. And they were good people. They wasn't rich by no means. They were poor people. And finally she just told us, she said, "You all are the first ones that we've ever had in our home. First ones we ever kept." We stayed there with them and we lived with them for 5 or 6 days. And you know, through the years, we keep getting cards from them. keep to get caught. You know what? It was an adventure to them. You see, it's trivial, but it's an adventure. She played the same role here that Lydia had played. And this is what's involved when we understand our mission and adventures in the gospel. And so I want us to realize too, in 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1 and 2, Paul said, therefore, when he could no longer endure it, he thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And he sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and faithful laborer of the gospel of Christ. Listen to what he said. Paul said, I have sent him to you. I've been left in Athens alone. But he says, what I sent him for is to establish you and to encourage you in concerning your faith. Can you imagine Paul here having Timothy go on ahead to Thessalonica and to establish them and to encourage them? Well, no doubt Paul needed him, but it was a great adventure here for Timothy to go and do this. It was a great work. But what he done, he just went and he established them and he encouraged them. Do we do that to one another? Well, it's a work. It's a part of the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you see yourself in the mission of the gospel? That's what we're talking about tonight. We've overlooked so many things that are so important in preaching the gospel. In Acts 18 chapter, we have Aquila and Priscilla. They're partners. They're husband and wife. And Paul goes and lives with them because by occupation, they were all tent makers. Working alongside, making those tents and doing that stitching and working at making tents. It was a situation where Paul was helping support his preaching of the gospel of Christ. Whatever was necessary to get the job done. And Aquila and Priscilla here, they worked with him. They labored together in this occupation of making tents. And then a little later on, Aquila and Priscilla was in an assembly. And they met a man here. They was introduced to a man by the name of Apollos. And Paulus was an eloquent man and mighty in the scripture, but he knew only the baptism of John. What happened here? Well, the Bible says that Aquila and Priscilla, they took him aside and they expounded unto him the word of the Lord. That's a great work in the mission of preaching the gospel. We don't know as Aquila here ever done any public speaking. But what we do know here is that him and his wife as co-laborers together helped to get this man to see that there were things in his preaching that needed to be corrected. That's a part, they could see their mission in the gospel of Christ to help this man. And that's exactly what they done. You see what I'm saying is here, gospel work is not limited to gospel preaching. And folks have got to see this. And we've got to be people who practice this. And we face all kinds of challenges. It's a controversial business that we're in. Do you agree on that? It's of a controversial nature. Because what we're doing, we're handling a force that challenges people to change their lives. Now think about that. That's why that we get rebuttals. That is why that people say, well, I don't believe that. That's why people say, well, what's wrong with you? You know that one thing is good as another. That one religion is as good as another. Well, no, it's not. And then what we do, we engage those people. And when we engage them, we need to prepare for this. But because we're handling a force that challenges people to change their very lives. When a person's been taught wrong all his life and he needs to know the truth about something, you're challenging him. So don't get shook up if he responds in a negative way. Because we are in a challenging business. We can't expect to have a positive response always. It's going to be a hard struggle in order to accomplish good. And so gospel work is down in the mud. That's what it is. It is sleeves rolled up. And it's hands on job. It's being shovel ready. Did you ever hear that word? It's being shovel ready. That's what it's about. Helping people spiritually. If our view of gospel work just simply have church membership, if it's just attend church occasionally or give a little money, then we're clueless to what this is all about. I want to shake you up. I want you to think about this because this is really important. And I know you are. And I'm telling people that I believe that are evangelistic and that are spending money doing that. Because I know that you supported me for the last 20, 25 years. And I love you for it. And I'm indebted to you. But at the same time, I want us to understand, feel good about the matter. Meet these challenges. And there's great joy in this. This is not like belonging to a club. The work of the gospel is to be our aim while we live here on this earth. That's what it's about. It is a challenge to be consistent. It is a challenge to be a good example and persistent, to keep probing in conversation, to inject the gospel into the lives of the people that we meet. They say, well, I don't want to hear about it. Quit talking about that. Don't talk to me about it more. Well, let them rest a day or two and go back and work on them again. Keep probing. That's what we got to do. It pays off. It really does. My brother, I mentioned, who obeyed the gospel 3 years ago, he wouldn't hardly talk to me about it. Then after he obeyed the gospel, he looked at me one day and grinned. He said, you know, every morning when I go to the golf course, or say every Sunday morning, I'd listen to you preach on the radio. You know what? He wouldn't tell me that. He never told me he listened to me preach on the radio. I had no idea where he was listening or not. He wouldn't say anything, but he was listening. You see what I'm saying? He was listening. I was probing his heart. And then when my brother found out that he had something he couldn't handle by himself, then he turned to the Lord. And that's a wonderful story of what he done. But what I'm saying is, we must realize that we have to inject the gospel. There will be, that we've got to learn as Christians. We've got to grow up. We've got to learn to deal with tough spiritual questions and issues that come from our friends and also that comes from our families. We can't cave in even on our own immediate kin and families. We got to learn to deal and confront and deal with questions that needed to be answered and encouraged. And so, we've got to learn these difficult questions. We've got to be patiently working with new converts to help them to adjust and grow. That's a part of the challenges of the gospel. We've got to be a constant source of encouragement to our brothers, just like Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica to encourage them. In other words, there's someone tonight you can turn to and you can encourage them. That's what this challenge is all about. We've got to be able to courageously confront a straying disciple or someone who's become unfaithful or ungodly. We've got to bring it to their attention. We've got to tell them, I love you. You're my brother or sister in Christ. But we can't put up with this. And if you want to stay in this family and be a part of us, then you need to come to repentance. You have to be courageous enough to do that. That is a part here of the challenges of the gospel. A lot of churches don't do that. A lot of churches won't even practice withdrawing from the ungodly. And that's a shame. In other words, that's a part of gospel work. Loving to do hard work. Things that are not necessarily sometimes pleasant. But we learn these things and we do them because it's important. I want to talk just a few moments then, and we'll bring the lesson to a close. I want to talk about the joys in the gospel. I mentioned to you my brother a minute ago, and he made a talk last Wednesday night, an excellent talk at Bible class. He's been a Christian only 3 years. He's studying, he's crammed, he's just like taking a crash course. He's studied, he's quoting scripture, he wants to talk, he wants to pray, he wants to study, he wants to talk. He wants to assist at the Lord's table, he's willing to do anything that he can. His whole life, his whole attitude has changed. Just like we see here that these people's lives have changed. Like the jailer that night, they changed from one point to another. And it thrills the soul, especially when it's somebody that you know, that you work with, that you love, and you want to see them become a Christian. That's a joy. That's really what it is. Paul said to those in Thessalonica in the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, he said in verses 18, 19, and 20, here's what he said. Therefore, we want to come to you, we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. Now listen to what he says. He said, what is our hope, our joy, or our crown of rejoicing? He asked us this question here. He said, you know, tell me, what is our hope, and what is our joy, and what is our crown of rejoicing? There it is. sandwiched right in between those two statements here, talking about joy and rejoicing. He said, is it even not you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? What are you saying, Paul? Paul is saying, you are our joy. Those at Thessalonica, those that were Christians, who were members of the church there. He said, you are our joy of the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. Then listen to what he's saying, the close of this passage. For you are our glory and our joy. Do we feel that way about other Christians and our brothers and sisters in Christ and work that is going on? This is joy in the gospel. Not only are there great adventures, but there's great joy in it. The greatest thing in the world that we can do. Let me say this, that one day someone will live in your house. You won't be living any longer. I know you're working on it, you're fixing it up, you're going to remodel it, you want to look as good as you could, and you want everything about it, and you want hardwood floors in it, and then you want scatter rugs, you want to get rid of your carpet, then you want to put down hardwood floor, and then after you do that, you want to put carpet back on top of the hardwood floor you put down. And then if you ain't careful, you'll slip on the rugs and fall and break your leg like one sister did at Clintwood. What I'm saying is, you know, someday somebody else will live in your house. And one of these days, that nice Toyota you've got, if you've got a Toyota, you might have a Lexus, I don't know. In other words, someday that car will be in a junk pile somewhere. I just think about through the years, all the old cars that I've had, what happened to them and where they're at. Well, there's a pile of junk somewhere. I don't know where it's at. I don't want to see it. But I'm saying it's there. Someday, someone else will work on your job. You may retire. You may die. But you rest assured this. If that job you've got, if it continues, someday somebody else will work on that job. It won't be you. Someday, somebody's going to spend what money that you put in a CD or you've got in a bank account or the stocks that you bought that have gone bad and you can't get your money back out of them. You know, I'm just saying, you see how things happen, what happens to life and things? And so someday, someone else will spend what money that you've left or what assets you have on this earth. And I want to tell you this, that in the end, every earthly venture is a failure. Now think about that just a minute. I don't care what it is. You name it and I'll show you where it's a failure, because it is. Every earthly adventure is a failure. What about business? Well, business come and go. They open them up in this town and they close them down. You have a person goes in business, then he goes broke. You have this one take the bankrupt law, and you have this that happens. You have everything in the world. Business is a failure. And sometimes these people build up these large businesses and chain operated businesses, and after you get them built up real big, a lawyer gets hold of it and gets them some clients and sues them and breaks all of them up. Business is a failure in the windup of it. Government is a failure. Do you believe that? Do you believe that government can fail? Do you believe that government is a good manager and the things that it does? Well, government is a failure. And I know not long ago, a couple of young fellows, not all that young, but pretty immature Christian-wise, them and their wives left one congregation to go to another because the preacher said something that offended them because it wasn't what they agreed with politically. And I'm not sure that he said anything much politically, but maybe he was making a point about something, I don't know. But they took it that way. And bless their heart, that preacher offended somebody that they thought was so good. But the truth of the matter is, you know, why would he get offended over that? These people in Washington, they're there as a career politicians. And they're not in the class with us. We're different people. We got a mission. We got challenges and we got joys. And it's not an arguing over politics. I remember back in the 40s, the first wrestlers come to Clintwood. I was just a young fella. I hadn't even got married. And they wrestled there for two or three nights and they had everybody in that town ready to fight one another. And the last night when they got their gate receipts, they all got in a little old car and left together. Well, you see the point? So don't get alarmed about that. And the reason why is that in the end of all earthly ventures, everything is a failure. We got to see that. Whether it's acquiring property. Look what happened a few years ago with the real estate when the bubble bursted. And now people are walking away from mortgages because they ain't worth what they owe on them. Everything's happened. You know, why is this? Why, acquiring property is not a... And we usually say that. My brother's a broker And he talks about property being a, he says that to people, you know, sometimes that it's a sound investment. And he's about to quit saying that because it's not. It's like everything else. At the end of every earthly venture, it's a failure. Even families a lot of times are failures. Or parts of members of a family, they fail. They fail the mother and father. The father fails the children, or the mother fails them, or both of them does. So many families are a failure. What am I saying? I'm saying invest ourselves in the work of the gospel. And what it's about is saving souls for Christ. It is the one thing that will have a true, lasting impact. Now you name me something else that's got that. You can't do it. It's not there. In the end, it is only souls that's going to be left. That's what's going to be left. In the end, it is only, it is the only treasure that will be saved. It is the souls of men and women. That's the true treasure. In the end, the only glory will be to the Lord. So what really matters is what we do now in His service. What you do here in worshiping God in spirit and truth, in raising your families and teaching them, in the work here and supporting the elders, and not only the work here, but evangelism is for and it's best that you can reach out. That's what it's about. That's the investment. And when this world is on fire, that will stand. And that's what I want to impress upon your souls tonight. Do what He says in His service, and it is that which will last. So tonight, right here, and at this time, and in this place, and even in this church, you have a holy calling. You have a mission. And you have an adventure that awaits you. Will you rise to the occasion? And will you taste these good things, or are you already tasting them? I hope so. The Lord calls you to the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I begin by using verse 15 of Romans 1. Paul says, so now as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome. But you remember the next verse? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And that, my brothers and sisters and friends, is really what it's all about.